like, yeah, the yes. none of the above yes. Yes. option.
So there are two rules to construction. Rule number one, it always takes longer than you plan. And rule number two, you know what that one is, right?
Yeah, times two.
Yes, there. Well, I don't know that I'd say times two, but it certainly is coming over budget at this point. But not
so the
not
question
horribly.
Is, why?
Well, it depends on which project you want to talk about. And some of our projects, actually...
Every one of them is over budget?
No.
And behind?
Let me be candid. Up to this point, we've had a lot of projects done, and we are actually ahead of our budget by about $1 million, meaning that we have had $1 million in project savings. But the two projects that are running behind right now are the two that are a little bit over budget. And when I say a little bit over budget... less than $100,000 right now on each of those projects. But what the issue has been is soil compaction. It was such a wet winter last year. We've had a difficult time compacting some of the blue goo that we got down into when we were excavating the parking lots at Alice Burney and Lafayette.
Really?
Yes, yes. So what we ended up having to do...
There's goo beneath the decomposing... Was decomposed granite? The gray... Or the... The dirt?
Yeah, what? Yeah, the dirt.
That's the yellow dirt.
Is that a technical term?
Well, I mean, it was when we were digging tunnels in it. I figured, the dirt, yeah.
Yes, there is. So the blue goo is down there. And so what we had to do actually was put down a road fabric and then put base rock on top of that to get the compaction for the asphalt to go on there. And so that drove costs a little
bit. I guess when you dig in old swamps, you find things like that, huh?
There you go, yes, yes.
But that was the geology stuff didn't pick that up?
Well, it was too far down, and we didn't think that we were going to get into it. And if it wasn't as wet as it was, it would have compacted fine. It's just the amount of moisture that was in the soil now.
So it kind of percolated a little bit.
Yeah, I guess basically in trying
I've heard that word around coffee. I don't drink that stuff. So
the coffee or the blue goo?
Yeah. I hope both. So that extra amount of work is what drove the cost over.
Yes,
on both
yeah,
of them.
And that's what's considered unforeseen because nobody knew that we're going to run into that issue, and so it does drive the cost of the project. But we've been really happy with the progress. We'll have half the lot open at Lafayette, so there will be a parent drop-off location there. The buses will be driving on gravel. So as we start, it will be functionable, but it won't be fully functionable yet.
How do you do a half of a parking lot?
Well, the parking lot where the parent drop-off location is, which is the site of the former infamous gravel parking lot there at Lafayette.
Oh, the teacher's parking lot?
Yes. So that's the new student drop-off where parents will drop them off. The bus drop-off will be in front of the school. So that lot will be open. But the lot where the buses will be dropping off will still be gravel. We expect to be on schedule probably a couple weeks into school to get that one complete.
So a little after Labor Day it'll be done.
Yeah. Yes.
How's Alice Burney?
Alice Burney is a little bit different story. We're actually further behind there. And unfortunately, it's looking like when we open school, we will not have any of that lot open. And that being the case, we're working on our alternative drop-off location, which will likely be in the Jacobs parking lot and have them walk across rotary fields. And then the buses will drop off in the same location they did last year, which is right there on the street.
So Jacobs parking lot still is intact?
Yeah, actually, Jacob's parking lot is decent. Let's not talk
it's
about
the building.
It's just the building. Yes.
Okay. Other than that big elephant, uh-huh. How's the rest of the school year shaping up?
It's good. Things are fast and furious right now. We're a week out. School starts on Wednesday, August 23rd. All staff is back on Monday, August 21st. We're going to start off with a... all staff meeting kickoff, and then we actually have glasses for all the staff to go out at 10 o'clock to watch the eclipse.
Now, the all staff meeting, that's going to be held in the new gym?
Well, actually, we're talking about viewing the eclipse in the new gym.
Good. Good.
Or I should say the location.
Oh,
of
not
the
so
new
good.
Gym will
not
be,
so
yes.
good. Yeah, I ran into... I guess everything in Oregon is just going absolutely goofy. You know, north of Medford, north of Brookings and Gold Beach. I heard somebody said yesterday that all the car rentals in the state had been canceled, even if you had the guarantee, and then the prices reset, treble.
Wow. Well, my understanding.
Yeah, that's
I heard this morning that the population of the band of the eclipse is about 10 million, and they expect that to be doubled during the eclipse time.
You know, I guess it's big enough. I should pay attention. Are either of you guys excited about this or following it? Or I mean, obviously, you see it as a chance for a hot dog roast. So, I mean.
Well, you know, here's the funny story. We've been planning on doing this for a while, and so we ordered 500 glasses for all of our staff. And 500 glasses, and we got the notification on Monday that your order has been canceled. So, and I think we got tied up in that whole issue of the not approved glasses, even though we linked off of the NASA site to get those glasses. And so what we've done is we've put an emergency order together to have another set of glasses brought in. And so we're in good shape. They're coming, and we'll be ready to roll.
Oh, you mean glasses you wear, not glasses you turn on?
Yes, yes.
It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play. And they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long. Brought to you on KINS, in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck and his buddy. Now, why is Richard here, Fred?
Well, Richard is here because I actually, in another one of my roles, serve on the Humboldt County Fair Board. And this year...
So my comments about your board, that's why you were so coy during the break. How'd you not attend that meeting to get elected onto that?
Well, actually, you know, I volunteered. I'm happy to serve on that fair board. I have a passion for youth and agriculture.
Oh, not horse racing.
Well, you know, horse racing comes along with it.
Yeah, okay.
Horse racing has certainly been a learning curve for me because that is not something that I have been involved with much at all.
Well, I remember Westfall and Wayne Wilson and a bunch of those guys being on there. And it was, yeah.
Wayne Wilson still is?
Is Wayne still there?
He is still there, yes.
Oh, good. Give him a hard time for me and Dad then next time you see him. Just, yeah. Just out of basic principle.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Oh, cool.
The other unique thing this year is the opening day of the fair happens to be the opening day of schools for Eureka City Schools this year. So it creates an interesting date conflict that we, I believe, have been successful in navigating our way through. And there's many schools across the county this year that will be opening on Wednesday of next week.
How about Fortuna?
Fortuna's Monday, already going.
Yeah. Last.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. They are in session and going. And actually, that's the normal state trend. If you look across the state, most schools are starting that early so they can end their semester prior to Christmas break. And you know what? Candidly, for me, it doesn't really matter. 180 days is 180 days. And when we start and when we finish doesn't matter because we're going to do 180 days.
Does that mean you're in favor of the 6 on, 2 off?
Actually,
I love that concept.
I actually would be in favor of that. I don't think that's any place we're going anytime soon. You know, our school schedule is based on an agrarian society where back in the early 1900s, 90%+ of our population was involved directly in production agriculture, and they needed that time off to go out and harvest the crops. And we're really not that way anymore. And what the problem is with the summertime is that really increases the achievement gap for many of our students that are out there that don't have the means of parents to take them on vacation and go out of the area and really have that extended learning over the summer. And so if we
What is an achievement gap?
So an achievement gap is the gap of learning between someone who is socially, economically disadvantaged, and so someone's a poor family, and somebody who is not in that situation. because people who are not in that situation generally tend to enrich their kids over the summer by going on a vacation to a national park or going on vacation someplace out of state or continuing that learning, not just sitting their children in front of the TV or sending them out on the street to play or something like that. And I'm stereotyping here, and I apologize for that, but the evidence certainly is there that there is an achievement gap based on poverty.
Okay. I always thought that the summertime thing was a chance for you to forget half of what you learned and restart when you came back, and that would be the primary motivator. You know, 2 weeks, okay, we can forget some, but we're not going to forget as much as we do over 10 weeks, and you get a chance to have vacations throughout the year.
Right. And the research is really clear that that is a better model. It really is.
So why not?
It's not a popular model.
Amongst who?
Amongst parents. And,
really?
And teachers, yeah. Yes. There's.
I don't get 10 weeks off in the summer.
I don't either.
So I wonder, you know, with the parent, is it just historical inertia?
Yeah, that's what I think it is. I think historically, summertime is a vacation time, a time when a lot of people schedule their vacations, and you know, that's the way that it's always been. So that's the way that we should keep it. And I think that's just a reality of where we're at and our society's at. And that's not just speaking for Humboldt County. That's just a generalization across the United States, because there's very few year-round schools, unless it's what's called a multi-track year-round, where they go year-round because they have such a high population of students.
Better utilization of the facilities.
Right, right.
As well as a better educational experience for the kids.
Yep.
Gee, yep. Okay, that sounds like 2 out of 2 to me, but yeah, hey, I'm not on that board either, am I?
Yes, yeah. That is accurate. So at the fair this year, what is happening is we're actually opening on the same day, and one of the big concerns that was out there, and I'll let Richard really expand on this, is that
not much expansion.
It was going to have
about a minute and a half
impact on livestock attendance of the Junior Livestock Show, and so I'll let him chime in at that point.
For the kids to be able to show their
right
animals,
right.
Not the auction itself.
No, not the auction itself, but the kids actually exhibiting and showing. And originally when the school calendar came out, we were concerned that we would see the number of entries or exhibits drop. And we really haven't. They're on par with last year. So, you know, people are making the adjustment and planning around a school schedule.
It's kind of like the old days when the family was going on vacation, you pulled the kids out of school. I know that's sacrilegious to one of your board members, but, you know, I mean, that's kind of the way things
I've heard that mentioned a few times.
You have?
Yeah, so I think that's a possibility with some of the kids. But, again, I told Fred it's only 3 days, you know, Wednesday through Friday, so he could make that adjustment. We could deal with that.
And we actually, one of the things that we've done is we've worked across the county with superintendents, whether you're in 4-H or FFA, to have an excused absence for students who are showing on their show day, because it really is a learning experience for them.
It's like going to a conference or a convention. I mean, it's the same concept.
Absolutely, absolutely.
No blowback from anybody?
We get a lot of feedback about the calendar and moving the fair back a week later. Into the school year, you know, we remind people that the youth week is actually the same as it was last year.
That probably shuts them down pretty quick, huh?
Well, it doesn't. We still have a little challenge.
Fair enough. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Richard Conway, who is the general manager of the County Fairgrounds. Now, that's still state property, right? Or is it county?
It's county property.
It's county property. Redwood Acres is a state property.
Correct.
Ah, okay. I'll finally figure this thing out. And Fred Van Fleck, who was going to correct me, but I self-corrected before he had that cheap opportunity to pounce. Talk Shop, presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Richard, the fair is, it delivers on everybody's expectations most years. You know, I go into the garden area. Mm-hmm. I go into the painting area. I have this thing called an allergy to hay. And it keeps me out of the barnyard, which the Van Fleck family is truly appreciative of, by the way. horse racing, the bad food, and the rides.
Right.
Is that a typical template for county fairs throughout the state of California? Is that the model, or for the smaller county fairs?
We're unique in the fact that we have the live horse racing. We're the only small fair that still has it. So we're fortunate in that respect. But I think for the smaller county fairs, you know, when you're looking at, you know, the livestock programs, obviously art and home goods, home arts.
And well, that's right, the pies.
Can't forget the pies.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, we have a lot of, you know, interest in exhibitors and home arts and floriculture and that type of thing. So those still exhibits are still a big part of the fair.
One cool thing that I think is part of it, I don't know how you can highlight it more without spending a ton of money, is the historical component. I mean, it's seeing some of the old pictures in like the 20s, mm-hmm. and seeing what the county fair was at that point, in addition to being a two-day drive for some folks, but what it meant and what it was like and the social gathering, and it provided functions that kind of society has gotten away from. To be able to bring some of that back. But I don't know if you could even.
Well, and I think you'll see this year with the theme, you know, 121 years and a million memories, there's a lot of focus on that. And whether it's through advertising, exhibits, the still exhibits in the museum, there are a lot of the older historical documents, photographs, you know, pieces that are out on display. And so I think, you know, this year you'll see a lot of the families and groups, you know, reliving some of those moments and kind of reviewing some of that stuff. But there's a lot of great stuff on display.
Cool. So a lot of the community members are bringing things and sharing, not as exhibitors, but just as contributors for the event?
Groups like the Ferndale Museum and the Humboldt Historical Society and, you know, private individuals. A lot of interesting displays this year.
Well, I guess that's one of the cool things about being in Ferndale. There's a lot of the old guard families mm-hmm. are still there, so they've got a lot of that documentation instead of some of the other communities that have had such turnover.
Well, and there's a lot of interesting artifacts stored in the museum and on the fairgrounds. We have storage buildings that are full of old, interesting things that, you know, we still have the old clock tower from the Eureka Courthouse.
Oh, really? They just... they're using the fairgrounds as storage area, or is this your stuff that just nobody's really pushed to get out?
Right. It was donated to the fairgrounds. We have the works on display and part of the face. You know, a long-term project would be to reinstall that and have the full working clock on display.
Well, then Van Fleck reminds us of earthquakes that would make it a little bit more challenging, too. Right.
Yeah, it was just my elbow.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things like that. You
know. Now, a couple of years ago, there was a big whoop-de-whoop about the lighthouse.
Yes.
And the lens.
Correct.
I am a lighthouse geek, mm-hmm. so I kind of paid attention a little bit and had my own opinions. But what is the status of that for those who haven't followed it?
The lens is still stored at the fairgrounds. There was a big push to develop a site to display it. We weren't able to come up with a funding for that, so that was kind of put on the back burner.
On the fairgrounds, not reuniting it back inside the lighthouse.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so currently it's still sitting, you know, stored in a climate-controlled room at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, I'm thinking, boy, that's if somebody isn't, I probably shouldn't say what the value of it is.
It's quite high.
Let's just say that when the Hacienda was cleaned up, the coast, because the Coasties come in, they still have that responsibility for, and they have special gloves and that to maintain it. Three of the prisms were broken, so they had to be remade. And this is out of hundreds and hundreds, depending on the size. I heard like $250,000 a piece.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, yeah, lock and key and guarded. And
wow.
Oh, yeah. No, this is like, and how did these things make it across the ocean around the Cape to come here?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah. KINS. Okay, enough geekdom. We'll pull back, talk more about the fair. It's 8:41.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to talk shop this morning about the county fair.
Yes.
Yes. Fred's here, but he's now kind of just arm candy for Richard. Bad day in Black Rock.
It, yeah, it is. I know. Kind of my first thought.
So, Richard, the horse racing, the mules, all that kind of stuff, I know that's kind of the signature event or the signature activity for the fairgrounds. Are there other areas that you'd like to have highlighted or recognized by the community as much as that?
Well, definitely. I think, you know, the entertainment that we bring, you know, every year our entertainment committee really focuses on bringing new, fresh entertainment to the community. Things they haven't seen at another fair or in the area. This year, you know, I think they've done a terrific job again. We have three interesting kind of headline type acts. The main act would be like the Cortez Aerial Act, which is a high wire trapeze type show.
Oh, like the guys who go over Niagara Falls?
Exactly.
They're going to go over the creek?
Maybe Firm River, Eel River. But different, you know, something new. And then we have a couple acts, you know, one each week. We have one of the Chicago boys, kind of a tumbling group act. I think they're got their start on America's Got Talent. And then we have the Extreme Pogo Stick group coming back out.
Where'd you find these people?
With Cindy Olson, the head of our entertainment committee,
yeah,
does a brilliant job researching acts and entertainment. For when she brought the Sea Lions a couple of years ago, that was just a huge hit. Every year she...
Extreme Pogo Sticks?
Extreme Pogo Sticks.
Have you ever seen that before?
I've never heard of it before.
Oh, it's unbelievable. They jump over cars. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. Yeah. Crazy stuff. Have you ever tried to jump on a pogo stick?
Once.
Okay. Is that how many you made at one bounce?
Maybe. It's right up there with jumping rope. You know, that physical dexterity thing I was talking about earlier?
Whistling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
interesting. definitely high energy. Lot of interest there. Kids will love it. The families will love it.
Are those a weekend or
all week?
Okay. These particular events, are those on the weekends?
The Aerial Act is every day of the fair. The Chicago Boys are the first week of the fair, so Wednesday through Sunday, and then the Extreme Pogo would be Tuesday through Labor Day, Monday the following week. So
the fair is on and through Labor Day.
We close Labor Day. We're open Labor Day, and that's our closing day.
Okay. The horse racing. I know part of the scheduling was to be sure that everything was all squared up. Same number of horse race days, or has that changed?
We have an additional day this year. We're going to run on Labor Day on the Monday. So we'll run Friday through Sunday and then close out Labor Day with the seventh day of racing, where the last couple of years we'd had six.
The extra day is the extra day. Fred, you're getting pensive over there. What?
Well, I was just going to say, one of the unique things that we're doing this year at the fair is the price of admission covers your price into the horse races as well. So that's something new.
Oh, really? So it's kind of like the Delaware County Fair, where you just have one admission and you get access to everything on the grounds at the time. How come?
Well, I think you see it's a cost savings to the consumer, to the guest, and for us, you know, we're the only fair that was still charging additional to the races, and thought it was a good opportunity to drop that and
make it up with the concessions.
Concessions do very well.
With the good food, not the bad food.
Yeah,
you said the good food.
The one you guys control, fine. Okay.
People love fair food.
Yeah, until they get home. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thank you.